It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last month, after 15 years, Harvard researchers reported a diabetes breakthrough. Joining us in Studio A to tell us more about this discovery and what it means for diabetes treatment is Linda Seminario, Executive Director of the University of Pittsburgh Diabetes Institute. Linda Seminario, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
I know we've addressed this question before, but start by giving us a brief explanation of what diabetes is.
Okay, well, there's type 1 diabetes, which is where the pancreas completely stops making insulin. And right now, we don't have a way to make insulin again. So people with type 1 diabetes from day one take insulin by injection. Type 2 diabetes, and that's where most diabetes that we see is happening. Type 2 diabetes is when the pancreas makes some insulin, it's just not working properly. And we call type 2 diabetes a condition of insulin resistance. The body, for some reason, sort of rejects the insulin, so it's insulin resistance.
And with that established, would you tell us what this breakthrough discovered by Harvard researchers involves?
So, you know, one of the things that we've been trying in science for many years is looking at the beta cells. The beta cells are the places in the pancreas that are responsible for making insulin. And what the Harvard group did was look at ways through tissue reengineering and regenerative medicine to make beta cells, because we've tried transplanting and doing all sorts of things to make beta cells so that we would have them available for things like further study or transplantation. And so what this breakthrough does is it will help us to learn more about using cells for further efforts in transplanting beta cells. This would be particularly important for people with type 1 diabetes who don't have beta cells working, or using those cells in laboratories for testing new medications or learning more about diabetes and how it happens.
How do you think that this will impact the future of diabetes treatment and research?
Well, I think it takes us one step closer. Every scientific effort that we make, and science is so important in diabetes now, will take us closer to hopefully a cure that we've been seeking for a very long time. You know, diabetes is so rampant right now that there's lots of treatments, new therapies, new tools. But I think science like this, basic science, helped get us to the next level. And hopefully we'll learn from this, and it will take us to an ability to get beta cells for transplantation and a cure.
You were talking earlier about type 2 diabetes and how prevalent it is. Why are we seeing more of it?
Well, there's an area that also needs further study, but a couple of links that we know are for sure is our environments and our society has changed. Folks have gained more weight. You hear it all the time. People are overweight, prone to obesity. We're seeing those rates escalate. And there's a direct correlation with how the rates of obesity are increasing across our country, directly correlating to the rates of diabetes. So one thing that we need to start focusing on is ways to get folks to eat better and be more active.
And can type 2 diabetes, unlike type 1, we hear that type 2 could be reversed.
Well, I wouldn't use the word reversed.
Is that not the proper way to phrase that?
Right. I think that, you know, there's lots of efforts and programs now. We know that getting a little more physical activity, reducing your weight, the science tells us by 7% of your body weight, that you can prevent the onset of diabetes if you're at risk. And if you do get diabetes, you've got diabetes. But what you can do is maintain a healthy lifestyle, get proper treatment to sort of forestall the addition of a plethora of medications and a future of taking insulin with type 2 diabetes, because we know it's a progressive disease once you get it.
You mentioned new treatments. What are some of the new treatments?
Well, I work in diabetes every day, and every day there's just new meds, new tools. For example, they're developing all kinds of new diabetes medications that target not just the pancreas that we used to target years ago, but targeting places that help insulin production from the gut, from the help regulate glucose control from the kidney, from the liver, from muscle, even from adipose tissue and fat. So all kinds of science in the development of therapies. There's tools. You know, before it was awful giving insulin injections. The needles were long and thick and painful. Now they're microscopic. They're very, very tiny. There's new devices like insulin pens and insulin pumps and even sensors that are being developed that can help control your blood glucose levels, let you know what's happening in your body 24/7 without having to prick your finger.
We've been talking with Linda Seminario, Executive Director of the University of Pittsburgh Diabetes Institute, about a diabetes breakthrough by Harvard researchers. Linda Seminario, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The number of people being diagnosed with diabetes is increasing. November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and here in Allegheny County, the 11% rate of people with diabetes is above the national average. This weekend, the American Diabetes Expo is taking place at the David Lawrence Convention Center, and here to tell us more about the expo is Terry Seidman, Associate Director of the American Diabetes Association of Western Pennsylvania. Terry Seidman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Tell us about the diabetes statistics released by the CDC in July.
At that time, there were approximately 26 million people who had diabetes in this country. They've now raised that figure to 29 million people. And still a third of them don't know it. That leaves about 9 million people walking around with undiagnosed diabetes. The number of people who were having pre-diabetes was 79 million. It is now up to 86 million people. So diabetes has become an epidemic in this country, and we definitely do need to pay attention to it and how to live a better, healthier life with diabetes or preventing diabetes.
When it comes to the advancements that have been made, you like to say that it's become better, not necessarily easier. Why is that?
There's nothing easy about living with diabetes, but due to the advancements in technology, the quality of life is much better than it has ever been. The hemoglobin A1C, for example, is a test that's given that shows the blood sugar control for the last 3 months. You can't fake it. You can't hide it. You know, it used to be that when they did a blood sugar draw, then maybe you didn't eat the night before. Maybe you took more insulin if you were on insulin, and the blood sugars would come out looking pretty darn good. But if you've not been in control over the last 3 months, then there's no way to fake that. So you can see where you are because of the advancement of this particular one blood test that's done. You can do the same type of activity day after day after day, and your blood sugars may not be the same, even though you're doing the exact same thing. So there's a lot that's involved in terms of living a healthy life with diabetes. And I've seen people say that, you know, are you under control? And someone with diabetes goes, you know, am I managing the diabetes? I'm managing it. And I'm doing the best I can. Because for some people, and because we're all different with our genetic stock, no matter what they do, they die. I mean, and that's the way it is. So truly, you live a much better quality of life with the advancements that have been done.
And what types of advocacy programs are there for people with diabetes?
The American Diabetes Association has a tremendous advocacy push in terms of on the local levels, on the state levels, as well as on the national level. And then basically on the national level is an increasing awareness about diabetes research for finding a cure or towards diabetes. There's a lot of discrimination issues that are fought on behalf of people with diabetes in terms of different types of jobs and different types of settings. There's also discrimination issues, believe it or not, for children with diabetes in the schools. And the ADA really has been instrumental with their Safe at School program in fighting for children who live with diabetes.
What's in store for the people attending this weekend's expo?
This weekend's expo is filled with screenings, workshops, cooking demos, activity on the floor, a diabetic stage, which is infotainment about diabetes in a fun type of way. We have a youth and family fun zone that has healthy living stations for the entire family, as well as a skating rink, a tennis court, and all sorts of activities, fun things to do for everybody. It is an intergenerational event for all ages.
So this is not just for people with diabetes?
No. This expo is addressed towards everybody. People who either have diabetes, people who are at risk for developing diabetes, which is, with the statistics, is almost everybody,
right,
as well as people who are just interested in living healthier lifestyles. Because all the cooking demos and the fitness activities and the workshops are all addressing that same issue.
Is this a particularly tough time of year for people who have diabetes? Because you've got Halloween with the candy, and you've got now we're going into Thanksgiving and then Christmas, and a lot of what happens at that time of year is eating.
Right, right.
A lot.
Right. And I think what we try to show people is that we understand this, and we know this is on the horizon, but there are ways to make those same types of meals just in a healthier way, so you don't lose what the flavorings that you like. And there really is an adjustment and some disciplining of how do you deal with this, and how do you mentally go into the holidays, and how do you focus on being able to enjoy it and then being able to enjoy the food, but with a little bit of a change, I would say. And we do supply that type of information so people can celebrate the holidays, I don't want to say like everybody else, but being very happy and satisfied with everything going on.
And the other part of the equation here is it being active, and that's a big part of what you're focusing on, it mm-hmm. sounds like, in this weekend's expo.
Right. We have on our Move and Groove floor is what we call it.
Move and Groove.
Move and Groove. Zumba, line dancing, square dancing, yoga. It's a medley of all different types of activities that we're doing, and we are lucky that we have Jennifer Ankoviak coming down, and she will be doing a workout on the floor as well. And we have Rufus Dorsey, who is coming from L.A., who is an actor as well as a fitness trainer, and he will also be doing different types of workouts with water bottles.
So in the years that you've been doing the expo, are you encouraged by some of the developments that you've been seeing taking place?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, the theme of the diabetic stage is the diabetes time machine and going back in time and looking at the discovery of insulin, the discovery of diabetes, of insulin, diabetes technology, how it has improved over the course of the many, many centuries and years, and how we look at food, fitness, and nutrition. So the diabetes technology has become so much better than what it was 50 years ago. In order to test your blood, you have a glucometer, which immediately tells you what your blood sugar is. 50 years ago, you had to drop urine into a test tube. You had to throw a pill into it. You had to see it turn colors. And it was not very scientific all that much, because everyone's threshold is so different in terms of their sugar level. Mm. So it was just the negative trace 1, 2, 3, or 4+. That's just a very small example. The syringes, there was no such thing as throwaway needles. There were glass needles that needed to be boiled and sterilized before you could use them again. And oftentimes people just use the same needle over and over and over again. Do you know how dull those needles get, and how painful? The syringes today are so sharp and so tiny, it's like a prick. They have cartridge pens. They have the pump that delivers insulin all the time. All of these advancements have been incredible over the course of really the last 50, 60 years in terms of diabetes management. Is it easier? Someone once asked me, is it easier? I would say it's not easy, but it's definitely much better than it ever was. So I've definitely seen the difference of diabetes management and diabetes technology over the course of the last 50, 60 years.
Well, the American Diabetes Association Expo will take place this weekend at the David Lawrence Convention Center. Terry Seidman is Associate Director of the American Diabetes Association of Western Pennsylvania. Terry, thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.